Our server is supplied by the Great Lakes Reflector System, provided by Kilo Bravo 8, Zulu Golf Lima, and all contacts and requests for information will be handled through the net control. When contact with another station is made, please move off the system and establish your contact direct so the net may continue. In fairness to all, short-time stations will not be recognized as such. All stations will be worked in the order in which they've checked in. Information regarding our operation may be found at scarsvoip.com. Your net control for this session is actually quite a few, but the master of ceremony is actually David, KB9EWG. My name is Kathy. My call sign is Kilo 6 Sierra United November. I'm merely opening it up this evening, and I'm located in the beautiful city of Port St. Lucie, Florida, where it's not so beautiful today. 75 now and very, very stormy all week. So prior to starting, I'd like to ask if there's any emergency traffic or anything out of the ordinary that needs to be handled. If so, I ask you to come aboard. All right, hearing no emergency traffic, that's always a great thing. So let me ask this question. Is there anyone celebrating a birthday this week, next week, last week that would like to come aboard so we could say happy to happy birthday? All right, I guess that means we're not getting older. But here I will tell you, there's someone having a birthday this week. It's actually myself, a couple days. So I wanted to fool you guys and just tell you my birthday's coming up. So this is the TIN, the Thursday Informational Net Open Forum, or TIN for short. This net is conducted to provide information pursuant to amateur-related subjects and our other areas of general interest to those participating. All are encouraged to participate and ask questions of our guest speaker and speakers. Do want to advise you, however, that if you're connected to this session tonight and you've spoke tonight, you will definitely be part of the recording because we always post them on our website as a podcast. So with that, I want to welcome everyone once again. We're going to talk about, I believe, ARRL certificates tonight, and we have quite a group. But I'm going to throw it over to my partner here tonight, KY6D, so he can make his opening comments. But everyone, have a lot of fun tonight. Kilo 6 Sierra United November, Mr. G, KY6V, it's all yours.
Well, thank you, Kathy, and happy birthday. You're getting some happy birthdays in the text box also. Good evening, South Guardians, friends, Romans, and countrymen. We are here tonight not to praise Caesar, but to talk about ham radio awards and certificates. And most of the information tonight is credited to the Amateur Radio Relay League. American Radio Relay League is actually the proper name instead of amateur, I guess. The awards program is coupled with hands-on experience and comments from our staff and membership, so I think we're going to have a lot of fun. Since there are numerous awards that can be sought for and obtained, we will only be covering 12 tonight that are thought to be the most popular within the ham fraternity. This will include going after DX, works all states, fishing for grid squares, and spearing the impossible that was not considered obtainable. So sit back and enjoy. It is not by chance that your lead narrator and organizer was picked for this subject matter tonight, and I'm speaking of the one and only David, KB9EWG, from La Crosse, Wisconsin, who has recently gathered all the contacts and confirmations necessary to file for his DXCC award. And I might add here that he did so under restricted conditions, so maybe he'll comment on that as the evening progresses. So without further ado, allow me to turn the gavel over to David to start the program and introduce our support narrators. KB9EWG from KY6V. Hello, Mr. Wisconsin.
Well, hello there, Gordon, and thank you for that wonderful introduction. Thank you, Gordon. And good evening to everybody. I am pleased to be here tonight and talk to you about a subject so close to my heart. I'm also very excited to be joined in tonight's program with such outstanding hams as Gary, KC2GA, Roger, W4RFJ, the Chief, George, NO70, and Gordon, KY6D. I'm going to start tonight with discussing two awards that I sort of feel are at the top of consideration. And that would be the DXCC and the DXCC Challenge. Stand by for a sec. And pardon the canine interruption in the background there. The DXCC list is based on Clinton B. DeSoto, W1 Bravo, Charlie Bravo Delta, landmark 1935 QST article, How to Count Countries Worked, a new DX scoring system. DeSoto's article discussed problems with DXers had in determining how to count DX or entities they had worked. He presented a solution that has worked successfully for succeeding generations of DXers. In DeSoto's words, the basic rule is simple and direct. Each discrete geographical and political entity is considered a country. Stand by for reset. This rule has stood in the test of time, and from the original, it's published 1937 to the ARRO DXCC list. Of today, for more than 70 years, the DXCC list has been the standard for DXs around the world. DeSoto never intended for all DXCC countries would be countries in the traditional sense of the word. Rather, they are the distinct geographic and political entities which DXers seek to contact. Individual achievements measured by working and confirming the various entities compromising DXCC lists, this is the essence of the DXCC program. Stand by. Okay. And now the mouse just rolled down on me. Let's see. Okay, yeah, the DX Centric Club certificate. Wait a minute here, man. I think I've skipped here. Over time, the criteria for the DXCC list have changed. The list remains unchanged until an entity no longer satisfies criteria under which it was added to. Then the DXCC entity or country is moved to the deleted list. Thus, today's DXCC list does not fully conform with today's criteria. Many of the oldest DXCC entities are grandfathered under previous rules. Stand by. Section 1, Basic Rules. The DX Century Club with certificate and lapel pin is available to amateur radio operators throughout the world. There is a fee for the award. A ARRO membership is required for DXCC applicants in the U.S. and its possessions, and Puerto Rico ARRO membership is not required for foreign applicants. All initial DXCC awards, unless otherwise stated in the current rules, shall be issued for working and confirming a minimum of 100 entities on the ARRO DXCC list. All DXCC awards can be endorsed with country totals. Stand by. There are 20 separate DXCC award certificates available, as well as 4 DXCC plaques. I shall now describe the highlights of them. A mixed general type contacts may be made using any mode since November 15, 1945. B phone contacts must be made using radio telephone since November 15, 1945. Confirmations for cross-mode contacts for this award must be dated September 31, 1981 or earlier. C. CW contacts must be made using CW since January 1, 1975. Confirmations for cross-mode contacts for this award must be dated September 30, 1981 or earlier. CW contacts dated on or before December 31, 1974 are credited as mixed mode. Stand by. Digital contacts can include QSOs using any and all digital modes in any combination except for CW. Since November 15, 1945, digital modes include RTTY, PSK31, KT65, etc., etc. Also, any modes that are only machine readable and any that use computer sound card technology. The exception is digital voice, which counts as phone. Satellite contacts must be made using satellites since March 1, 1965. Confirmations must indicate satellite QSO. And there's also five-band DXCC. The five-band DXCC certificate is available for working and confirming 100 current DXCC entities except for the deleted entities previously mentioned that are found for this award. Contacts may be made on each of the following bands, five bands, 80, 40, 20, 15, and 10. Contacts are valid from on or before November 15, 1945. Stand by. The five-band DXCC is endorsable for these additional bands, 160, 30, 17, 12, 6, and 2 meters. Five-band DXC qualifiers are eligible for an individual engraved plaque. I'll now stand by if anybody has any questions or if we have any check-ins for tonight. This is KB9EWG. All right, since nobody's picked it up there, I'll go ahead and continue. The DXCC Challenge Award is available for working and confirming at least 1,000 DXCC entities on any amateur bands 160 through 6 except for 60 meters. Plaques can be endorsed on increments of 550 entities for each band and are totaled to give the challenge standing. Deleted entities from DXCC entities do not count for this award. All contacts must be made on or after November 15, 1945. QSOs for the 160, 80, 40, 30, 20, 17, 15, 20, 10, and 6-meter bands will qualify for this award. Confirmations on bands with less than 100 entities are acceptable for credit for this award. Certificates are not available for DXCC award, only plaques are issued. Stand by. The DeSoto Cup is presented to the DXCC Challenge leader as of the 31st of December each year. The DeSoto Cup is named for Clinton B. DeSoto, whose definitive article in the October 1935 QST on how to count countries worked a new DXCC scoring system shapes the DXCC award program. Only one cup will be awarded to any single individual. A medal will be presented to a repeat winner in subsequent years. Medals will also be awarded to the second and third place winners. Okay, I'll now stand by if anybody wants to check in at this time or has any questions. This is KB9EWG.
KC2GA.
And 6 Victor.
Okay, KC2TA and 6 Victor. KC2TA, go ahead, please.
Well, I was just trying to remember whether the DeSoto was a step above a Chrysler and in between the Imperial, or was it the entry-level model? but seriously, folks, I had a question. You know, when we're talking about different kinds of awards here, and certainly there are tons of them that you can go for. There's got to be, obviously, a lot of information on the ARRL website. I'm assuming that most of these are free, but I do know that some ARRL awards, do come with a fee attached, and there are some special requirements. And the one question that I had for that, because now that I'm in the position to actually getting an antenna that will get me off the block here, I might want to be going for some of these. Do you have to use Logbook of the World to qualify for these awards? Because I really hate Logbook of the World, and I'd like to avoid using it if I have to. But do you know whether that's a requirement, or maybe somebody else does know? Back to you.
Well, to the best of my knowledge, Logbook of the World is probably the main way. You can also use QSL cards if you got physical cards. In fact, I just qualified for DXCC with 102 contacts confirmed. Six of those are on QSL cards, so I got to mail them six in to the league to be verified. But as far as I know, I don't think there's any other way besides either LOTW or QSL cards. Does anybody else have an answer to that, KB90WC?
Yeah, I'll take a stab at that, David. Six Victor.
Okay, Six Victor, go ahead.
Yeah, I think you hit that right on the nail's head. Gary, I don't believe that the only way to get this done is the logbook procedure, the automated digitized approach. And the QSL cards and so on and so forth are your other choice at the moment. The only place, there's one in our coverage here tonight, and I can't remember which one it is, Gary, but there's one of the awards, I think it might be QRP, that does not require either QSL cards or the logbook approach. So I'll leave that as it stands, but I'm sure that information is all available on the ARRL website. While I've got it, Gary, let me buy a nickel. I was just curious how you had set yourself up for getting to the point where you're submitting your DXCC. I'm sure there was a lot of persistence involved, and then there was a lot of stick-to-itiveness, and all of that. But, it's been my experience that people handle this a little bit differently. One guy or gal will just roam the bands until they hit something that they need, and then they go after it. Others will use a DX cluster, and there's quite a number of those available out there that pinpoint activities on the band at a given point of time, which gives you a cue to fire up on that frequency and do what you can do. So what was your modus operandi, David? KY6V, over.
My modus was just get out and operate. I was not really trying to chase anything specific. Just got out and operated, and if I saw a DX station, I would try to work them. And sure enough, like I said, I've now worked and confirmed 102 contacts, 96 via LTW and 6 per QSL cards that got to get verified at this time. Then I also had to start the application process. I had to attach my Logbook of the World account to my DXCC account, which that was $31 alone attaching that. So it's a rather interesting process that's got started here. Hopefully that answers your question there, Gordon. Anything else?
No, I think we're going to be getting into this as we talk about some of the other awards, but it's my understanding that, generally speaking, I didn't know about this extra $31, that it's $16 for the application for the award that you're going after if you're here in the United States, and it's $18 if you're abroad. And then there's some handling charges, I think, for if you're submitting QSL cards so that they are traceable when they're sent back and so on and so forth. So I think the biggest thing that is probably open for discussion, but nevertheless the way the cookie is crumbling at this point, is that in just about all of these awards, you have to be an ARRL member in order to participate in the program. Back to you, David, KY6V.
Well, like I said, there was approximately a $31 fee to attach my Logbook of the World account. I'd attach each contact in my Logbook of the World to my DXCC account. And then it's going to be another $54 to apply to file for the DXCC award. That's going to be two awards. That's going to be mixed and digital. And then there's also card fee that's involved in there, and postage mail my cards back and everything else. So altogether, the cost of the DXCC itself is going to cost me $54 once I get. That's not including the $31 I've already spent on the contacts to the DXCC. Hopefully that answers that question there, Gordon.
Yeah, it sure does. After you spend all that money, I hope you got room on your wall, David. Go ahead, sir.
Well, I've got a little left considering all the other awards up there, but yeah, that's going to be like the main awards up on the wall. Anyways, then I guess if there's no other questions or check-ins, I'll continue on here. Anybody else wishing to check in this time?
KC2GA, just a quick comment.
KC2GA, go ahead.
Okay, you know, it's just what I guess the I certainly am looking forward to working with the ARRL awards program. I've been a member now ever since I got my license, but you know, when you start talking about being able to use QSL cards, I do 95% of my QSLing via eQSL, and they won't accept that. So, you know, that kind of puts me behind the eight ball when I go for an award, because I'm really starting out from scratch. You know, I can't use the countries that I already have because they're electronic. You know, they're not Logbook of the World. So you're kind of trapped with that. So I guess if you want the goodies, you got to play the game. I guess that's what it is, which is fine, you know. But you'd kind of wish they'd open it up. Anyway, back to you, KC2GA.
Yeah, I agree. I've got, you know, a couple thousand contacts on EQSL myself there, but yeah, I basically say if you want a card, you got to send a card. So I try to QSL 100%, especially on the DX stations there. Okay, anybody else wishing to check in before I pass this on to NO70? Okay, hearing nobody else, I shall now hand the gavel over to NO70, who's going to talk to us about WorkDog Continents and CW. This is KB9EWG. George, it's yours.
KB9EWG and the South Cars Thursday TIN for May 17th, 2018, NO70. And name is George, located in Nottingham, Maryland. We have cloudy skies and rain forecast, and been raining all day pretty much. Do want to say good evening to everyone. I see familiar calls, and I see some not-so-familiar calls out there in the roster and the board. So I do want to take just a moment to say welcome to South Cars, and good evening. If you are a South Cars member, happy that you've come by to get another check mark in the roll book. If you're not a South Cars member, we'd love to have you join us. It's a free membership. You get emails about all the activities and what's going on, that will provide more operating opportunities for you. So we want to welcome you to South Cars as well. You can check our website at scarsvoip.com, or also email at voip@scarsvoip.com. And send your name, call sign, and date of birth. No year, just month and date. And Kathy and Gordon will get you all registered and all set up. Let me rig. Just imagine what it would be like to have an award for being the oldest member of South Cars, or the longest running member. Okay, well, I guess I better get back down to business here, or else David may take away my ice cream tonight. All right, I want to talk with you about WorkDog Continents. sponsored by the International Amateur Radio Union. The Work to All Continents Award is for working at confirming all six continents. These are North America, South America, Oceania, Asia, Europe, and Africa. Now, the Oceania continent includes many of the islands surrounding Australia and sometimes Australia. There seems to be some fluctuation in that. Australia is included in the modern description of Oceania for the WAC award. And if I'm mispronouncing that with my accent, my apologies. Let me reset. Now, the cost of the WAC award certificate is $16 for the United States and $18 for international mailings. Endorsements are available for $7.50. For multiple endorsements enclosed with one application or multiple applications, the fee is also $7.50 each. So that's the overview of the WAC. Let's take a look at the five-band WAC award. A five-band Work to All Continents award is also available. You must work and confirm all six continents on each of the five primary amateur bands of 80, 40, 20, 15, and 10 meters. When these band awards are completed, endorsements are available for the remaining amateur bands except for 60 meters. The five-band WAC is strictly a band-only award, and it cannot be endorsed on any mode. The cost for the five-band WAC award certificate is $16 for the U.S. and $18 for international mailings, and the postage for card return is required. U.S. mailings for a card return are $3, and international mailing for card return is $11. So how do you apply for the award? The WAC, or Work to All Continents, program applications can be checked by an official ARRL DXCC card checker. In addition, any official awards manager from an IARU member society may check WAC applications. Now, sufficient postage for the return of paper cards is required in addition to the award fees. The postage for WAC certificates is $16 for mailing within the U.S. For international postage, the cost is $18. Postage for card return for U.S. mailing is $3, and international mailing is $8. If payment is made by credit card, WAC will deduct all appropriate fees upon completion of award processing. This is the best and most efficient method of making a payment. Now, the applications may also be sent to the ARRL Awards Branch WAC Program, 225 Main Street, that's M-A-I-N, no E on the end, Newington, Connecticut, USA, 06111. And that is for what I have for the WAC. I'll move on to the Code Proficiency Certificate in just a moment. But first, let's say, again, welcome to any of our members or visitors. And this is the time just to check in, say that you're here, say hello, or the time to ask any questions that you may have on anything you've heard so far in the net tonight. So please call NO70. Over.
Okay.
I thought you'd never ask. Med Control, this is Kilo Bravo 3, Juliet, Uniform Foxtrot, KB3JUF, with a question.
Well, we recognize K2HA, our Radshoe Meister, Uber Meister. Good evening, Fred. Sir, it's good to have you here. And also Charlie, KB3JUF. Are there any others? Before I go down the list, please call with your check-in to say hello or to let us know if you have a question. Please call now. This is NO70.
RFJ, I think I doubled with Fred.
Well, Chief, it's sure it's good to hear your voice as well, too. I tried to rattle your cage earlier before net, but I think you had your hands full with your network. So glad to hear that you're up and running now. All right, so I have K2HA, KB3JUF, and W4RFJ we'll go down, we'll start down that list and go from there. So, good evening, Fred. And yes, let's make sure everyone is looking forward to RagChew. For this coming, is it Saturday and Sunday both? And what time, Fred? K2HA on the South Cars Thursday night TIN in 070. Over to you, Fred.
Well, thank you, George. This is the Happy Amateur, K2HA in Broomall, Pennsylvania. And happy birthday, Kathy. I will remember on Saturday that it's your birthday. So peace and blessings to you and many more. And I will not mention the year you were born. Same year my wife was born. But anyway, the Rag Chew is on Saturday and Sunday. I pray that I will be here. And looking forward to a good group as usual. And so you all come to that. But awards, I was just wondering if any of our group has the code award. That'd be interesting. I'd love to have that, but I'm not that proficient yet. Okay, this is Fred, K2HA.
Well, that's a good question, Fred, K2HA and the South Cards TIN. In 070. I'm going to work down the list and let Charlie and Chief answer that, and then after they give the answers, open it up for more check-ins for anyone who might have comments about whether they have received the code award or not as well, too. And also ask again after I cover the code part. So, thank you, Fred, and again, good evening. Oh, by the way, that is 7 p.m. that Fred opens up his South Cars living room for RagChew at 7 p.m. Eastern Time, Saturday and Sunday nights. It is comfortable as a nice old fitting, well fitting a glove or slipper or whatever. It's really nice. come prepared. All right. So, hey Charlie. Good heavens, Poconos Mountain still? Are they still there? KB3JUF 070 over.
My. No, they're not. They moved them out to Utah. They do these things and they don't tell me. Oh, well, yes, the Coconut Mountains are still here. I've been here all my life. Well, not yet, hopefully. Got a question you're covering. I think you're just talking about awards certificates. I don't know if you're going to cover, like, the EC-001 or the EC-016. I have the 001. This is pertaining to MCOM. And I'm working on the 016. I was wondering if you were going to include those. Maybe you have already. I was called away. I was on a mission from God. You really don't want to refuse those. You know, you've got to have a real good reason. Back to you. KB3JUF.
KB3JUF and the South Cars TIN in 070. Well, David will have to answer that question, I think, and I will add him to the list right after Chief, W4RFJ, for him to give you an answer, and then also ask for anyone with comments about whether they have a code certificate or not. So, hey, Chief, once again, you get to bail me out tonight. Are we covering the EC's? Do you want to comment about EC coverage? And also, what was the other question for you? You always have my back, always, whether it be here, Raspberry Pi, and good to see, and all the PNCs and everything else. Let me turn it over to the breadboarding king here tonight, the before RFJ, NO70. Hey, Chief.
Well, hello, George. Hello to the net. I do not have any code certificates. I probably won't even think about doing that until after I retire. I did want to let everybody know that my network situation is squared away. I've got Wi-Fi back up and running, and As far as the, I'm thinking Charlie's talking about the FEMA certificates, 100, 200, 300. I've got a bunch of them, but there's a lot of them available, and you can get them online, and they're free. Back over to you, Sheriff. Keep them squirrels under control. W4RFJ.
W4RFJ and the South Coast TIN N070. Well, thank you, Chief Shipmate. Appreciate it. I'll do my best to keep the squirrels under control here in Nottingham Forest. For those that are visitors, it's an ongoing joke. And yeah, I'm not. I got dubbed the Sheriff of Nottingham Forest when I'm far from being anything as such. But we have a lot of fun with the Nottingham Forest, and Rocky the Squirrel is always after visitors in his little bitty 6-inch high motorcycle with the little blue and red lights on the front of it. I have to stay away from him too. To answer the question about does anyone have a code proficiency certificate, I will answer that for myself after the next segment here. And David, maybe you want to comment about the EC certificates that Charlie was asking about, and then when you want me to, I'll continue with code proficiency certificates. KB9EWG, NL70, back to you.
Well, thank you, George. First of all, I want to say I'm glad to see you got the audio issues straightened out. Glad you're part of this. I mean, I would have missed you not having you in here tonight, and it's wonderful having you part of this, so thank you. And as far as Charlie's question goes, no, we will not be covering those EC certificates in that. We are talking 12 specific awards issued by the American Radio Relay League. And with that, I'll pass it back to you, George, so you can go ahead with the code proficiency. This is KB9EWG.
Well, thank you, David. KB9EWG and the South Coast TIN N070. Charlie, to answer your question, I do have a number of those certificates, and I first started with those myself probably about 2001, or, you know, it was pretty soon when they first came out, and it was very, they were harder to come by and harder to use with the Internet at that time. They're very easy to take. They're hard in the subject matter, but it certainly makes one, those certificates you're talking about, Charlie, I believe, really do help one become a better operator in the heat of whatever the need is. So thanks for asking about that, Charlie. Appreciate it. Let me reset. All right, so let me move on to my next assigned topic of code proficiency certificates. Now, a very enjoyable code proficiency certificate is available. While Morse code is no longer required for licensure as a ham radio operator, there is ongoing proof of the value of knowing Morse code, even though it's not required. Anecdotal stories over history include individuals, prisoners of war, deaf individuals, and other individuals using Morse code to preserve their sanity and provide opportunity for interactions with other people, sometimes in stressful or long-distance situations. Let me reset. And also, there are cases of successful survival in such things as being a prisoner of war, or in to cases of extreme isolation or research stations, because Morse code was used, perhaps in a distress call or in an occasional contact during favorable propagation, that could be heard and the location given when phone and other methods failed. So as you learn Morse code, you may evaluate your Morse code ability through the ARRL Code Proficiency Program and receive awards as your code speed increases. And yes, you're right. As your code speed increases, it gets more and more fun. It's fun to begin with. It has a fear factor on getting started with it. Everyone understands that fear factor. Please treat yourself to a treat and overcome the fear factor and just start in with it. Currently, the highest certificate or endorsement sticker that is available is at a speed range from 10 to 40 words per minute. It is possible that you may see some historical certificates issued in the past for up to 60 words per minute, although those above 40 words per minute are no longer issued. To qualify for any one of the certificates, simply copy 1 minute of W1AW's monthly qualifying runs and submit 1 minute of legible solid copy along with your $10 fee for a certificate to W1AW Qualifying Run, 225 Main Street, Newington, Connecticut, USA 06111. Your submission will be checked directly against the official W1AW text, and if you pass, you will get your initial code proficiency certificate. You may start with any of the available code speeds, including as slow as 10 words per minute, and from then on you can simply get an endorsement for $7.50 for each sticker up to speeds of 40 words per minute. And the good news too is that the W1AW code proficiency program is open to both hams and non-hams alike. Let me reset. And I promised an answer earlier to the question of if anyone has a code proficiency certificate. I am fortunate enough to have obtained several of them for different speeds increasing. I needed a relief from the tension of studying for a master's in business administration. Many of you have heard me tell this story before. And there was nothing like the fun of going out there and practicing the Morse code through these qualifying runs or through the daily code practice transmitted Monday through Friday by W1AW and building up the speed and seeing the speed climb up and up, which then helped me back then when Morse code was required to obtain my extra class license, of course, along with the theory and other factors. So I can certainly attest to the satisfaction and I think personal value, intellectual value, sense of accomplishment value for having participated or used the code proficiency program. So that is my comment about that. All right, so I promised to answer that question. Hope I didn't belittle it too much, but let me see if anyone else has any stories about code proficiency. There's a lot of experience on this South Cars Net here. Someone needs to come in and fess up now, okay? South Cars TIN with KB9EWG being our flagship presenter tonight. I'm just taking this section of it for him on code proficiency. Please call now with any comments or check-ins, and then we'll move on down the program. Please call now. This is NO70.
6, Victor.
Net recognizes KY6B, who has probably been studying Morse code. I think he mentioned at the beginning of the Net that we were here not to honor Caesar, but, you know, he KY6B probably has been sending Morse code since Caesar was also a ham and got his first South Cars number of Echo BC-100. KY6V, NO70, over.
Yeah, and he didn't bring the salad either, George. Thank you, KY6V here. Well, I was very, very heavy in the CW early in my game in amateur radio. I like to tell a story that, you know, I came from an all-ham family, which a lot of folks know already. But when I was born with a carbon microphone in one hand and a Vibraplex speed key in the other. So, yes, I've got a number of the CW awards from ARRL, and I like to say that I also have an award from the FCC for code. And that is only because I took my extra exam at 20 words a minute before the CW was dropped for that class of license. So there. And I'll leave it with one other thought. You know, my father was a crackerjack, a CW operator. He would beat his fist at 80 words a minute and read a newspaper at the same time. But what I wanted to parlay here that I thought was important was that as he got older, he's now a silent key, but as he got older, he worked more and more CW. And he said the reason for that is it kept his mind active. Back to you, George, KY6V.
KY6V in the South Coast TIN with KW9EWG at the helm, and my having the bridge temporarily for the moment in 070. Well, thank you, Gordon. Yes, regarding the keeping an active mind and the value of Morse code, there are so many studies that are advocating actively involving the brain, especially as people do age, and that seems to have very positive benefits on the brain, on emotional, intellectual, physical health, well-being, sense of well-being. It is certainly worthwhile, and we as ham operators have the advantage of knowing where to go get code practice and the tools required to get our code speed up. So I think there's a lot to be said for that, and yeah, I love hearing about your father's ham operating days, Gordon, because it sure holds up a high standard for us. All right, well, let me ask one more time if there's anyone else with a comment on code certificates. Please call now. This is NO70. All right, nothing heard. Well, the notes here say I'm supposed to turn it over to Gary, KC2GA. But Gary, if you will forgive me, I'm going to turn it back over to David since he is the head person tonight for this TIN. Just for any comments he may have, or see, just check in with him, and then he can turn it over to you once he has completed. So, David, let me turn it to you as a little aside here for the moment, in case you have any comments, and then you can go from there. So thanks for the invitation again to be on the program with you on the program tonight, and I do wish everyone a good evening. KB9EWG and the South Coast TIN, NI70, over.
Well, George, I want to say I'm very pleased having you here, especially since you almost weren't going to be here, considering you were having audio issues there. So I'm glad you got those straightened up and got yourself back online and working fine there. Sounding good. Thank you. Thank you for being part of this tonight. As far as CW goes, I don't have any certificates, but I have done some CW, and I actually do enjoy it. So with that, I'll pass it over to KC2GA, who is going to cover Work Doll States and FFMA Awards. Gee, I've got two Work Doll States certificates hanging on my wall here. So over to KC2GA. This is KB9EWG.
Well, it ain't Mahatma Gandhi, I can tell you that much. Good evening, everyone. Gary, KC2GA here. And my segment on awards this evening will cover the Work Doll States and FFMA 6-meter categories. If you're one of those crazy 6-meter people like me, this could come in kind of handy. But let's talk about Work Doll States, because everybody, you know, knows this one. It's the ARRL's most popular award. Thousands upon thousands of awards have been issued to hams around the world. In ARRL's 101st year, they've redesignated the certificates in the program in hopes of streamlining and improving the award program. Work Doll States program has many options, which we're going to talk about here. The Work Doll States Award is available to all amateurs worldwide who submit proof with written confirmation of contacts with each of the 50 states of the United States of America. Amateurs in the U.S. and possessions must be members of the ARRL to qualify for the award. Applicants from outside the U.S. are exempt from this requirement. Let me just buy a nickel here. Okay, and we continue with the requirements. Two-way communication must be established on amateur bands with each state. Now, there's no minimum signal report required, and here all bands may be used, of course, with the exception of 60 meters. The District of Columbia may be counted for Maryland. Contacts must be made from the same location or locations, or from locations no two of which are more than 50 miles, 80 kilometers apart. Submission of an application serves as an affirmation of abidance with the district rule. Individuals may apply for and be granted multiple Worked All States awards, including Worked All States achieved from different or multiple locations, each of which are in different 50-mile circles. Okay, so pretty much self-explanatory. You have to be within the parameters specified for the award. You can be in different locations, but you just have to go where they tell you to be. Contacts may be completed over any period. Contacts must be confirmed in writing, preferably in the form of QSL cards or via Logbook of the World. That's what we were talking about earlier. Let me just buy a nickel. Written confirmations presented for inspection must be original. No photocopies are allowed. Confirmations must show the applicant's call sign, band, mode, and date and time, and indicate that the QSL was two ways. Contacts made through repeaters or any other power relay method cannot be used for Worked All State credit. I never knew that before. A Worked All State award is available for satellite contacts. All stations must be land-based stations, that is. Let me repeat that. A Worked All States award is available for satellite contacts. All stations contacted must be land-based stations. Contacts with ships, anchored otherwise, and aircraft can't be counted. Headquarters personnel reserve the right to inspect cards at the ARRL's expense for any application made in order to maintain the integrity of the program. Failure of the applicant to respond to inspection requests may result in disqualification from the Worked All States program. False statements on Worked All State applications or submission of forged or altered cards may also result in disqualification. The best practice is simply not to submit QSLs for any award which have been altered or marked over. You've got to keep them clean. They've got to look right. The decision of the ARRL Awards Committee regarding any issue with which it is tasked is final. That's by another nickel. Okay. Now that we've gone through the rules, there's a lot of different types of Worked All States awards. And this was kind of an eye-opener for me because there's a lot of different flavors of Worked All States. There's the mixed Worked All States, confirmations for QSOs confirmed using any mode or combination of modes, endorsable with stickers for each band, excluding, of course, 60 meters. The phone Worked All States. And again, unless otherwise noted, the confirmations for QSOs confirmed using any voice mode or combination of voice modes, endorsable with stickers for each band, excluding 30 and 60 meters. The CW Worked All States. Confirmations for QSOs confirmed using CW. Endorsable with stickers for each band, and of course excluding 60 meters. The digital Worked All States. Now this is kind of cool because I do a lot of digital stuff. So for me, this is kind of an inviting award to go for. Confirmations for QSOs confirmed using any digital mode or combination of digital modes. Endorsable with stickers for each band, excluding 60 meters, and for digital mode, for instance, JT65, FSK441, PSK31, RTTY, or what have you. Let's once again drop it, and we'll be right back. There is an RTTY Worked All States. There is a satellite Worked All States. There is a five-band Worked All States. This is interesting. Confirmations for QSOs using any mode with all of the 50 states on each of the following bands. That's 80, 40, 20, 15, and 10 meters. Now, the five-band Werchtal state certificate may be endorsed with stickers for other bands and stickers for modes. The five-band Werchtal state's plaque may be endorsed with metal plates for other bands. There's 160-meter Werchtal states, 50 megahertz, yay, confirmations for QSOs, confirmed with using any mode or combination of modes. 144 megahertz, 222 megahertz, 432 megahertz, and 1296 megahertz all are capable of receiving a Werchtal states award. Now, here's some instructions for the applicants. Please refer to the latest fees posted online. Application forms and record sheets may be submitted to an approved ARRL Special Service Club HF Awards Manager via mail or in person. Please contact the manager for instructions. ARRL Special Service Clubs may appoint HF Awards Managers whose names are posted online at ARRL.org/WAS. Dash card dash checker dash search. And again, if you just go to the ARRL website, you're going to find all this information anyway. Additionally, DXCC card checkers may, at their option, check Werchtal state's applications. DXCC card checkers can be found, online at the ARRL website. Let me once again drop it. Now, in lieu of using a local checker, you may send your QSLs and applications to HQ, that's ARRL HQ in Newington, for checking. All applications sent to headquarters must include sufficient postage to provide for safe return of the QSLs via trackable shipping. And it's okay to supplement a Logbook of the World application with QSL cards. And again, this is something we were talking about earlier. You just can't use eQSL. They have to be hard copy, legitimate QSL cards. Okay, that was a bunch of stuff to go through. What we'll do right now, let's open it up for any questions or check-ins. We'll see what we've got cooking out there. So we'll call for check-ins right now. I'm KC2GA. This is Southgarts on the TIN.
Whiskey Golf.
Whiskey Golf, come on aboard.
Okay, I just want to comment that, yes, as I mentioned earlier, I do have two of the Werchtal States Awards hanging up on my wall here. I've got a Werchtal States for mixed contacts, and I've got a Werchtal States for digital contacts. Then I have endorsement stickers on both certificates. I've got a 20-meter and 40-meter endorsement certificates on the Werchtal States mixed. And on the digital, I've got 20-meter, 40-meter, and I've also got FT8 and JT65 stickers on there. So I do have two certificates with endorsements hanging on my wall here from the league for Werchtal States, KV9 EWG.
KC2GA, here's a quick question for you. I spend a lot of time living doing digital on 20 meters. Did you find it was easier to work all states doing digital modes than it was any of the other modes?
That's a good question. I think probably so. And believe it or not, one of the last states I needed to work actually was the state of Wisconsin. I seemed like I had everything else worked. I always thought the hardest would be Alaska and or Hawaii, and it turns out Wisconsin was one of the hardest ones for me to work there. KV9 EWG, back to you.
Now that is funny, KC2GA here, because where we are, of course, we're located here in Syracuse, New York. For whatever reason, Wisconsin is like, you know, there's like this pipeline between between Syracuse and multiple locations in Wisconsin. So that is really kind of funny. But I've noticed, it's all variable. It's atmospherics, it's where you are, it's what you're using for an antenna, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. But I found that just to get, you know, a quick collection of various contacts and usually scattered all over the place, you just can't beat using the digital modes. I was, you know, particularly JT65 and FT8. I've, you know, those are just like bing, bang, boom sometimes, you know. When 20 opens up, it's just like you're fighting them off. Yeah. So, but that is kind of funny about Wisconsin because, once again, we just kind of, it's almost a nuisance here. Let me just buy a nickel and we'll go back to my kind of favorite take on awards here. We're going to talk about 6 meters in just a second.
Even NEWG, quick comment. I'm in Wisconsin. That's the best part about it. Back to you, KV90WG.
Well, we'll have to watch for you. We'll have to watch for you the next time I've got that thing fired up and see if you could join the Wisconsin nuisance crowd. You're not really a nuisance, but it's really funny because, like, you know, you just keep seeing Wisconsin, Wisconsin, Wisconsin. So, I don't know. There's just some sort of a strange little pipeline that's between here and there, I guess. So we were going to talk a little bit about FFMA and 6 meters. That's the Fred Fish, not Fried Fish, but the Fred Fish Memorial Award that was created in honor of Fred Fish, oddly enough. W5FF, who is, of course, a silent key, he was the first amateur to have worked and confirmed all 488 Maidenhead grid squares in the 48 contiguous United States on 6 meters. And I'll give you a posthumous round of applause for that, because that ain't easy. The award will be given to any amateur who can duplicate W5FF's accomplishment. Now, this award also encourages operation on the VHF bands from rare grid squares known as grid D expeditions to help activate all 488 grids. The rules of FFMA closely follow the VUCC rules and will be discussed in the next segment by Roger, W4RFJ. Now, let's open it up for check-ins and a little conversation here, and then we're going to talk to Roger about VUCC and QRP, but we're looking for check-ins right now. I'm KC2GA. My name's Gary. This is South Cars on the TIN. Nothing heard. So we're going to move it right along here and talk about a couple of awards that kind of interesting stuff, especially if you're into the challenge of QRP. And to tell us a little bit more about that, W4RFJ. Roger, hello there, sir.
Hello, Gary, and thank you very much. Good evening, all. This is Roger, W4RFJ, and as Gary said, I'll be talking about the VUCC program along with other QRP certificates. The VHF/UHF Century Club, or VUCC, is an award granted by and a registered trademark of the American Radio Relay League. The award is given to those amateur radio operators who successfully complete amateur radio communications with other amateur radio stations and a specified number of Maidenhead grid locators. Let me grab a nickel. The Maidenhead locator system divides the Earth's surface area into a grid of locators that are each 1 degree latitude by 2 degrees longitude in size. For the 50 megahertz and 144 megahertz awards, the minimum number of grid locators is 100, the number from which the Century Club Award derives its name. Get it? Century 100? Here we go. The VHF-UHF Century Club Award is created on January 1st, 1983. The award is available to amateur radio operators worldwide, although U.S. applicants must be ARRL members. Let me grab a nickel. The basic awards, especially with the VUCC awards, are available separately for each amateur radio band above 50 megahertz in frequency. that is available, that is the 50 megahertz in frequency that is available to amateur radio operators in the United States. Each of the awards is earned by submission of proof of two-way amateur radio contact, usually in the form of a QSL card. Each document submitted for proof of contact must indicate both the radio frequency band on which the contact was made. Also, the Maidenhead grid locator is required for the station when the contact took place. Let me grab another nickel. The number of grid locators required to qualify for the basic award varies depending on the radio frequency band. For 50 megahertz, a.k.a. 6 meters, and 144 megahertz, a.k.a. 2 meters, 100 grid locators are required. And for 222 megahertz or 1.25 meters and 432 megahertz or 70 centimeters, only 50 grid locators are required. For 902 and 1296 at 33 centimeters and 23 centimeters, only 25 grid locators must be confirmed. For 2.3, which is 2.3 gigahertz, which is 13 centimeters, you only need 10 grid locators. Let me grab another nickel here. And then that leaves us with any band that's higher in frequency than 2.3 gigahertz, only 5 grid locators are required. The award certificate is dated and individually numbered, and notification of the award grant is made in the ARRL's journal, also known as QST. Endorsements. As far as endorsements are available to recognize those operators who have confirmed these contacts with additional grid locators beyond the minimum required. These endorsements are available in increments of 25 grids for 50 megahertz and 2 meters, 10 grids, getting my tongue tied around my eye tooth, 10 grids endorsement for 222 and 432 megahertz bands, and 5 grids for 902 megahertz and higher bands. Let me grab another nickel, which leads us into the QRP DXCC. This award is available to amateurs who have contacted at least 100 DXCC entities using 5 watts output or less. Contacts made any time in the past count, and no QSLs are required. The QRP DXCC is a one-time award and is non-endorsable. You do not have to be an ARRL member to qualify. All right, let me grab another nickel, and we'll talk about how to apply. All right, I know I'm being kind of long-winded here, but we're almost done. To apply for the QRP DXCC, just send a list of your contacts, including call signs, countries, entities, and contact dates. Do not send QSLs. The list must also carry a signed statement from you that all the contacts were made with 5 watts RF output as measured at the antenna system input or less. Along with your contact list, you're asked to include $16 for U.S. certificate shipments or $18 for international certificate shipments. Please include your fee in the form of a check or money order in U.S. funds. Make sure to indicate your mailing address and your name as you want it to appear on the certificate. Mail everything to QRP DXCC ARRL 225 Main Street, Newington, Connecticut 06111. All right, I'm at the end of my topic. Let's see if we got any questions or check-ins. Please call W4RFJ.
Six, Victor.
Six, Victor. Let me work through this pile-up anymore. All right, I'm just trying to be funny. Go ahead there, Captain.
Yeah, well, let me stand by here while the crowd gets out of the way. KY6V. You know, I was sitting back, and the more I think about this grid square business, the more amazed I am. Do you realize, and I didn't realize it until we got into this, getting the program pulled together, that there is a grid square, and you read it off already, that is, a grid square is classified as 1 degree of latitude to 2 degrees of longitude. Okay, now let's think about this for a moment. 1 degree is, as I recall, is about 66 statured miles. No, maybe that's wrong. Maybe that's 5. But at any rate, so if it was right, then, you know, the longitude side or the width of this baby would be about 132 miles. Can you imagine, Roger, how many grid squares there are in the United States? I can't count that high. KY6V, over.
Well, I have to agree with you there, Captain. Some of my research that I've been doing, I've actually been taking, and that's with a grid square with 6 digits, such as like my grid square here in Pennsylvania, FM29 India Victor. But imagine taking that down to a 1 meter square,
yes,
using 10 digits in the grid
this
square. I've been exploring that. It's mind-boggling. Anybody else got any comments or questions before we move on? I think the Elmer Award is up next. Guess not. I think everybody passed out when I told them when I said I was working on 1 meter grid squares. But anyway, let's see. That's all I've got. This is W4RFJ. I'll pass it over to the captain, KY6V, and he's going to be talking about wolf hungs and the Elmer Award. Go ahead, Captain.
Yeah, okay. Thanks, Tiger. Hi, gang. KY6V here. I've been blessed with talking about two awards that I find very interesting. One is the Elmer Award that I think has an awful lot of merit behind it, and, of course, the Wufong that a lot of people probably haven't heard of, but that is a fun certificate. And we'll get into that in a moment. Under the Elmer Award, Elmering or mentoring has long been, you know, the backbone of amateur radio. While technology constantly involves, the human interaction between hams will not be replaced and will always remain one of the hobbyist's strongest traditions. As licensed hams, we are all ambassadors of amateur radio, obviously, and we should always be looking at ways in which we can welcome newly licensed hams and project a positive image that will attract others to the hobby. I support that wholeheartedly. Now, the term Elmer, meaning someone who provides personal guidance and assistance to would-be hams, first appeared in QST in March of 1971. It was titled How's DX, and it was in a column by Rod Newkirk, N-E-W-K-I-R-K, and he was W9BRD. And he went on to say that he called the group of Elmers the unsung fathers of amateur radio. Now, while he probably was not trying to coin a term at that time, I'm sure, here's how Newark introduced it. He says, Elmer, in his column, as he turned it out to the rest of the world, it read, quote, too frequently one hears a sad story in this little nutshell. Oh, I almost got a ticket, too. But Elmer W9XYZ moved away, and I kind of lost interest. Does that seem to ring a bell? Let me buy a nickel here for a moment. So Newark went on to say, we need those Elmers, all the Elmers, including the ham who took the most time and trouble to give you a push forward, are the birds who keep the great game young and fresh. I think that's very eloquently stated. And as you can see, the term is not very old. Prior to the first use of the Elmer, as the one who guided and encouraged us, were what were these folks called? And you know, they've had a lot of names through history. They've been called teachers, mentors, tutors, guides, helpers, sage, and so on and so forth. But when the bottom line comes into view, they are all called friends. So let's remember that. Any questions on this before we go into Mr. Wufong and family? KY6V, over.
Echo Whiskey Golf.
KC2GA.
All right, gentlemen, EWG and GA. Go ahead, David, first.
Yeah, I just wanted to comment that I very, very proudly have hanging on my wall an Elmore Award presented to me by Larry Casey on HTP the day I helped him pass his general test there. KV9EWG.
You're going to have to take a picture of the apartment there and let me post it on the website, David. My goodness gracious, I don't think you have any wall space left. KC2HA, Mr. Syracuse, go ahead.
Hello there, sir. Just you know, whatever you call an Elmer, it's just not going to be. I mean, you got to call an Elmer an Elmer. It fits so well, and I don't know why, you know. I know you know too. There's a zillion different origins of the term, but really, you know, you can call him a teacher, you can call him a mentor, you can call him a sage. I like that sage. You know, he probably needs a long flowing gown. Yeah, but you know, an Elmer's an Elmer. You know, and it's just right. So I hope they never change the terminology. Back to you, KC2GA.
Yeah, well, you know, as the chief potentate of the Ask an Elmer program here that we sponsor on TIN, you should put 2 cents of promotion in for that. Over.
Well, either that or we could change it to Ask a Sage, you know. And I'd have to do the Wizard of Oz thing, you know, hide behind a curtain with a lot of smoke and mirrors. Back to you.
I love that comment. Ask a sage. Watch out, I'm just liable to change it on you here the next time we program that. Okay, guys and gals, I want to talk about the Wufong ceremony and certificate. This is a special thing, and I was fortunate very young in the game of amateur radio to be at a ARRL convention in San Francisco when the ceremony was put on. And I've never forgotten it. At any rate, to become a member and receive a certificate for the ROWH, and that stands for Royal Order of the Wufong, and that is spelled W-O-U-F-F-H-O-N-G, two words. One needs to attend a hamfest that provides this option. And not all hamfests provide this opportunity, so it is wise to check in advance. The Wufong initiation ceremony is performed before the audience by a cast of 5 characters. Who have active speaking parts, and one novice, or new ham, if you will. And its characters are known as the Old Man, High Potential, QRM, QRN, and XTAL, X-T-A-L. And the various roles require a lot of rehearsal to perfect. The Old Man and Crystal, or XTAL, are the principal roles, and their proper handling requires some study and work. And there's costumes involved, and a lot of witchcraft and folklore, as I recall. They turn the lights down low on the one that I attended. And then these 5 characters come out with looking like ghosts, you know, wearing sheets and peekaboo eye holes and holding a lit candle, and oh, it just went on and on. It was gorgeous. So at any rate, I'm not going to waste a lot of time in getting into this further, but it is a fun experience. It is a meaningful experience. And, you know, it becomes significant when the structured thinking is that this hopi should be kind. It should be gracious. And it should be professional. And care should be taken by each of us to produce clean signals and care of the language that we use and be helpful and friendly to our fellow hands. So, you know, this is the bottom line of the Wufong meaning. It's an attitude adjustment tool, is the way that I look at it. It's similar in my thinking to use of a ruler, you know, held by the old-time teacher. He uses on a student who needs some positive motivation. Well, that's where it starts, Mr. and Mrs. Wufong. With that, I'm going to turn it back to the boss. KB9EWG, let him take any further check-ins or questions, and let him decide whether he wants to pull the cork at this point or keep rolling. KY6V, go ahead, David.
He wants to come to knock on his door. I'm looking forward to when he comes back, because I definitely want to ask him to describe what that thing looks like. It's pretty, from what I understand, it's pretty unique. This is NO70 and KY6V. We'll have to look back in the back corner for an especially shiny purple crystal. KY6V, NO70.
That's what happens when I get long-winded. Thanks, George. I don't know how to describe that. You know, we had a picture that was promoted on our website amongst the slide pictures, which was a promotion here for tonight's program. It's basically a whipping stick, okay? It's two pieces of wood that are hinged together, and the upper part, you hold the one portion of this thing, one piece, and the other piece flings back and forth with the momentum and motion of your hand, acting like a small wooden beating rod or whatever. You've seen a picture of it, George. Can you describe it any more than that? It's an attention-getting device. George, over.
KY6V and the South Coast TIN NO70. Well, I'm not fortunate enough to have received one, although I have certainly seen one, and that thing scares me. It does. You know, Gordon, the first time I saw that, and I just learned tonight from you that the thing is hinged and actually has some motility to it, which I was not aware of. But it does remind me when it is not extended. For any of you that have ever used a metal bottle opener back in the days of having caps on glass bottles of soft drinks, and they had that little hook thing where you go and put the bottle cap up in there and pull down on the bottle and pop the cap off, that thing reminds me of that Wufong reminds me of an oversized wooden bottle opener. KY6V, NO70.
Well, it's hard to describe. You really have to take a look at a picture of that. And, you know, without any understanding of what the thing should be or what it stands for, you're at a total loss, I would think. But it's a very meaningful ceremony, guys and gals, and I recommend it to everybody. It's very enjoyable and very meaningful. All right, David, up to you, sir. KB9EWG, I'll get that correct. KY6V, go ahead, sir.
Gee, move me around to a different zone again. Thank you, Gordon. And I don't think we were covering the Purple Crystal Award tonight, but maybe we got to mention something about that too, I guess. Anyways, thank you so much. At this time, I'll look for anybody who wishes to check in or would have any questions, either for Gordon or whatever else. I myself have not had the pleasure of attending a Wolf Hong ceremony, but it sounds like it would be worthwhile. This is KB9EWG with the TIN, looking for anybody with any comments or check-ins.
RFJ.
Yes, sir, Chief. W4RFJ, yeah, go ahead.
Well, I just wanted to say my hat's off to everybody participating in the TIN this evening. And I guess one thing that pops into my mind when Gordon made the statement about, it was a meaningful type of ceremony, it brings me back to my chief's initiation. That'll get the blood flowing. Anyway, top evening. My hat's off to everybody. W4RFJ.
Well, Chief, let me join you in giving everybody a great big salute for joining in and participating this evening. Thank you. Does anybody else wish to check in or have any comments before we continue on here? This is KB9EWG with the South Cars TIN.
7-0 with a retrospective comment about Elmer's. Over.
Go ahead here, 7-0, with your comment. Thank you, George.
Well, thank you, David. KB9EWG and the South Cars TIN, NO70. All right, well, now I'm going to really embarrass my shipmate Chief W4RFJ here tonight, because it's so fortunate that the South Cars Conference has so many distinguished and accomplished people, very knowledgeable in the hobby, knowledgeable in electronics and radio theory, communications practices, methods, good amateur practice. You know, it's really fortunate. And new and emerging technologies are always a part of experimentation since the beginning days of ham radio. Now, that means that the occasion comes when new technology does emerge. And sometimes when that new technology emerges, it can be a little bit confusing. I want to call the net's attention to the scarsvoip.com website. And on the left-hand side over there, you will see a link about Elmer's. And that link is out there to a document that describes the chief's visit to the NO70 shack here at a time when I was just getting started with the Raspberry Pi, looking at what it could be done in the shack, whether it was worthwhile long-term to invest in it, what could be learned from it. And the Raspberry Pi does have a little bit of a learning curve, and it has a certainly some SD card burning technical issues, especially back then. And that Elmer description that is out there, I just want to recognize one of our own, Chief W4FJ, as well as KY6V and a lot of other people on this conference that I should mention, but I've spoken long enough tonight. Let me just recognize everyone and all the Elmers that I've been so fortunate to have been on the receiving end from. My gosh, I wish I could live up to that in giving my Elmer experience to someone else. So that's my comment, David, and everyone for the South Cars TIN, related back to the Elmer portion of the program. KB9EWG and the South Cars TIN, NO70.
Well, thank you, George. Well, as somebody who has received an Elmer Award, and I also have presented somebody else with an Elmer Award, the day I passed my extra, I presented Bill K9SQ an Elmer Award. My hat's off to all the Elmers out there. Elmering is a great part of the hobby, and it keeps us alive and going. So my hat's off to all Elmers. This is KB9EWG with the South Cars CIN. Anybody else wishing to check in or have any further comments before we continue on? Okay, hearing nothing, we will continue on with the first time awards and the triple play worked all states. So let's go on with the first time award. Commemorate your first contact or present this beautiful certificate to a new ham for making their first memorial contact. This handsome certificate commemorates that special first on your contact. It comes completed with the contact information that you provide and has a place for you to sign and date when presenting the award. This would be a wonderful surprise to send a ham when you are their first contact. Reset time. And there's also the Triple Play Worked All States. The Triple Play Worked All States is available to all amateurs worldwide who must use Logbook of the World LTW to confirm QSOs with each of the 50 states on voice, CW, and digital modes. The Triple Play WAS award is a serial numbered award starting with the number one as determined by the timestamp of an electronic application submitted via LTW. Awards issued will be tracked and presented on the AWR website. Stand by. Two-way communications must be established on amateur bands with each of the state on each mode. There is no minimum signal report required. Any or all band except for 60 meters may be used for the Triple Play WAS. The District of Columbia may be counted as Maryland. Contacts must be made from the same location or from location no two of which are more than 50 miles apart. Club station applicants, please include clearly that the club name and call sign of the club station trustee. Stand by. Okay. Contacts must be made after 0000 Zulu on January 1, 2009 to be considered for this award. LTW will be programmed to automatically use this criterion. Contacts must be confirmed via LTW. Written confirmations will not be accepted. There are no endorsements for the Triple Play WAS award. Contacts made through repeater devices or any other power relay method cannot be used for WAS confirmation. A separate WAS is available for satellite contacts. All stations contacted must be land stations. Contact with ships anchored or otherwise and aircraft cannot be counted. The exception is permanently docked exhibition ships such as the Queen Mary and other historic ships that will be considered land-based. Stand by. U.S. applicants must be an AWR member to participate in the WAS program. DX stations are exempt from this requirement. Attempts to falsify data logs or other application operations may be grounds for disqualification. The decision of the AWRL Awards Committee is in such cases is final. Please follow instructions presented on the Logbook of the World website. Cost of Triple Play WAS is $16 for a certificate delivered to U.S. addresses, or $18 delivered to an address outside the USA. The LTW processing fee of $5 will be charged via online application. There are no QSO fees associated with any WAS awards. Stand by. Now is your chance to proudly display your accomplishments of achieving the WAS Triple Play Award with a distinctive wall plaque to display next to your certificate. This distinctive plaque is a replica of the Triple Play Award certificate laminated in plexiglass. Your call sign, award date, and award numbers are printed on the plexiglass, giving it a raised 3D appearance. The plaque is $57 for U.S. shipments and $82 for international mailings. And you can send an email with a credit card number or download the form and return it to WAS by regular mail, fax, or email. Stand by. It is an attachment. You can also call 860-594-0234 to place your order. There's a small gray box in the upper right-hand corner of this form that you can click, and after completing the interactive form, send it directly to WAS. Special note, if you cannot edit this form, after opening it in the upper right portion, there is a box labeled Open with a Different Viewer. Just click this box and select Adobe PDF, and it should work fine. Okay, at this time, I'll call for anybody with questions or comments on this. This is KB9EWG with the South Cars TIN. Okay, I guess there's I'm gonna check for anybody with questions or comments before I close this then. This is KB9EW, the South Cars TIN. Okay, hearing nobody else, then I'll go ahead and pull the TIN for tonight. I just got to get the script up for that there. This is KB9EWG. Okay, this has been the Scars VoIP TIN. Let's see. This has been Scars VoIP. The net schedules and general information may be found on the scarsvoip.com website. You can, at this time, okay, like to acknowledge all the stations that participated in the TIN. That's Store General 70, of course, KY6B, Chief KC4, RFJ, I'm sorry, yeah, N4RJ there, and KC2GY, Jerry. I want to thank all participants, and this is KB9EWG at the South Cars TIN. We're now securing and returning things to normal use there. This is KB9EWG.